We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hom Kombucha. It's feel good, taste good kombucha, packed with probiotics and boosted with B12 vitamins. Brewed in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by our friends at Hom Kombucha. Handcrafted with love in Bend for Beaver Nation. Fizzy, delicious, made with antioxidants, probiotics, and all organic ingredients, Hom Kombucha. And we're proud to welcome in a new sponsor for this week's podcast. We're thankful to U.S. Bank for making a conversation such as we're about to have possible. At U.S. Bank, we know when you invest in a community, the community invests in you. U.S. Bank is committed to providing high quality, innovative products and services that meet the needs and demands of all of their customers. U.S. Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC, and new Beaver Sports podcast sponsor. It is an honor to welcome in this week's guest, looking for a new gig, perhaps. It's a pleasure to welcome former Oregon State quarterback great Matt Moore. Matt, how are you today?
I'm great, Mike. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. And let's start first with, Matt, the world that you're in. And I don't mean how you're working out and throwing footballs and staying in shape. Maybe we can get to that. But John and I both just puzzle over the nature of the National Football League and pro football after you are a major contributor in helping Kansas City get to the Super Bowl, winning two games, essentially, where you're the quarterback of record. At the end of all that, they say, well, thank you very much. For good luck in your future endeavors. I'm not sure I understand that, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, who knows why stuff works out the way it does sometimes. But that's kind of how it went, and all good. I mean, life goes on. It was awesome to be obviously a member of that team last year. But as far as future plans, I mean, they're doing their thing, and I'm homeschooling my kids, which is super fun.
Hey, Matt, I'm just curious, last thing on this. Do you have a conversation with them, or does that just come to you through your agent?
No, I mean, I had a brief conversation. Actually, not too long after the Super Bowl, really. And, you know, I wasn't really sure where my head was. Obviously, it's kind of hard to talk without free agency being open at the time. But just a kind of a normal, vague conversation with one of the members of the staff there, and that was really it. And, you know, once the free agency and stuff opened, they obviously signed Chad early, and again, that's just kind of the way it went.
Matt Moore, our guest. So, Matt, the next opportunity, I don't expect you, unless you feel like it, feel free to break news on the Joe Beaver Show, but how are the conversations? I mean, I've read your name linked with a lot of different teams, so it sounds like, do you feel like there's a good opportunity coming? Are you in a position where you and your agent can look and see what the best deal is?
Yeah, I mean, it's there's definitely opportunities, I would say. I don't know if they're opportunities, but we've had conversations with teams. You know, nothing that I can act on as of now. So I don't know if you call them opportunities, but we've had conversations. And, I mean, like you said, kind of the way the world is in right now, everything's kind of slowed down. I mean, really, for any position throughout the league, there's very few signings going on right now. So I'm home. I'm just kind of chilling. I know I told you that before, Mike, and I ended up playing again. But as of now, I'm home. And if an opportunity knocks and it's something good, then we'll go see what it's all about. But football is, it's always there, but it's kind of on the back burner right now.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. You kind of answered, and that's where your heart is. And
yeah,
if you know, it's hard to make that transition, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I can remember, you know, sitting with Mike up in Portland saying, you know, how I was done. And then a year later, you know, you go sign. But again, you know, the opportunity came, you know, that being the Kansas City Chiefs. And that was just something I just couldn't say no to, and ended up being a really good decision. But yeah, like I said, if something were to come about and it's good, you know, then we'll go see, you know, where it takes us. But like I said, other than that, we're kind of living this life that everyone's living right now and managing, you know, three little kids and doing that whole thing. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Matt Moore joining us. Matt, you and Tara are homeschooling together. Do you share that? I mean, how old are your kids now, and how's that all going?
Well, my wife does most of it. I get to babysit the 3-year-old, which is I don't know which is worse. but it's going. My oldest is 9, and then my son, my older son, is 6, and then I have a younger son who's 3. So it has its challenges, you know. It has its challenges for us, definitely, and for the kids. But I mean, we're doing it. We're making it work, and my kids have actually done pretty well. You know, I think they want to go back to school and see their friends and go play and be on a normal deal. But we're all making it work.
How do you make the football part of it, or are you throwing? Are you working out? What are you doing with respect to that, Matt?
Geez, Mike, you're putting me on the spot. very little.
Okay.
Very little, to be honest with you. I'll throw occasionally with my brother every now and again. But, again, not much, to be honest with you.
Okay. And you were kind of in that same place. You were candid enough to share at that kickoff classic with you.
Yeah.
And, Derek, you weren't doing much at that time. But you, it feels like, I remember watching an NFL game years ago, Billy Kilmer, an ancient veteran on the Redskins sideline. Theismann got hurt, and Pat Summerall was working the game, and Kilmer took a little bubble gum out of his mouth and threw it on the AstroTurf wherever they were playing, and Summerall said, "Well, that's his warm up."
Yeah.
which do you feel like you're a veteran, you've done this long enough that if a call came, an opportunity came, you can kind of get into that playing shape pretty quickly?
I do feel that way, for sure. I mean, especially even last year, you know, I think I kind of proved that to myself. I'm not gonna lie, I mean, I was a little nervous, you know. I got to Kansas City August 26th, I got there, last week of the preseason, and Coach Reed's like, "All right, you're not going to play," because I was literally there for a day. I got there on a Tuesday, and then we flew to Green Bay on Wednesday to play the fourth preseason game. And I'm like, "He's not going to play me. There's no way he can play," you know. And so thank goodness he's like, "No, you're not going to play." Of course, you know, that game comes and goes, and then you're like, "Holy smokes, like, it's week one, and there's potential, you know, that I would have to play week one, which I did in Jacksonville. And I'm like, okay, you know, but it was a big grind. You know, I got in, I studied, and my family was still in California. So I was by myself, living at the office and trying to learn as much as I can to be ready to go. And, you know, I hate that Pat got hurt, but thankfully I was somewhat ready to go, you know, week eight, you know, in Denver.
Did you get in between 1 and 8?
What's that?
Did you get in between week 1 and week 8?
No. And when I got in week 1, I handed the ball off, I think, 12 times.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
No, I did attempt a pass. It was a screen and got knocked down. But other than that, it was all runs. We were the game was kind of in hand down in Jacksonville. But no, I didn't play between those times. No.
How much work did you get before going in? Was it a Thursday night and you came in partial way through?
Yeah, I mean, typical, you know, being the backup, you get no reps, you know, and so I you run the scout team, which is, you got to get your work in there, and then, you know, I would, which most guys do that don't get the reps, live reps in practice, you know, I'd go through the script after practice every day, and for me, it was just so I could learn it, and, you know, if I had to go in the huddle and spit the play out and, you know, function. So I was really kind of just going at it. Thankfully, I had one of our offensive quality control coaches was awesome. He stayed after with me and really, we just worked through this thing to where I felt comfortable, to where the coaches felt comfortable. And then obviously, as the season goes on, you know, you build and you build and you build. And but it was, I just remember thinking to myself, like, week 1, 2, 3, 4, like, oh my gosh, if I got to go in, who knows what's going to happen.
Well, as you said, it worked out beautifully. And so when it did happen that you had maybe, I don't know where the victory over the Vikings fits in your career as a thrill and on a great team that was en route. That's a huge contribution to a team that ends up, because of that, having home field and the Super Bowl opportunity. Yeah. Matt, where does that game and that win fit in your career, just amongst highlights?
I don't know if I can rank it, but it's definitely up there. You know, even if those implications weren't on it, I mean, the game itself was an awesome back-and-forth game. I mean, then, you know, we win it with the last-second field goal. But obviously, to win it and then, you know, a couple weeks later, you secure home field and you wouldn't without that win or, you know, whatever. I mean, it was a huge, huge deal. And so for me to have a small contribution to that season and then to go, you know, be a part of a team that went out there and won the whole thing, I mean, it was really cool.
Matt, did you notice much of a change from just being the last second bring in guy in August to after that first performance? Did you notice a change in like what people said to you when you went out and about?
Yeah, especially in a city like Kansas City. It was neat. You know, people, they love their football there, and they love the Chiefs are, it's a pretty cool football town. And so, yeah, going out and about was a bit interesting, but it's all appreciated. It was really cool.
Matt, is it the type of performance that not only in that game, but your overall numbers in the games you did play, 65% completion, 659 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, but that game against Minnesota in prime time in particular, is that enough in the league that you're in that's why now I'm seeing your name popping up almost everywhere I look in free agency about, you know, somebody needing a solid veteran quarterback? Your name comes up in almost every story along those lines. Does that type of performance give you that cred with almost every organization?
I mean, you would think so. I mean, if I was running a team, you go out there and you do your job and you win and you lead the offense and you mesh with the guys. I mean, that's kind of that's your job description, you know? And so to go out and do that and I guess prove that, you know, you would think that, you know, maybe people want that on their team, but maybe not. I don't know.
Before we delve into some beer memories, have you had chance in your time in Miami to meet Don Shula?
I did. I met him a couple times briefly. He was always, um, he he was always in his golf cart pregame, down on the sidelines, talking to everybody. And especially being in Miami, the alumni, they do a great job with their kind of alumni, Dolphin alumni. And so there was always, you know, people that either played for him or that, you know, knew him really well. So he was always down there talking to them, and being down there for so long, you know, every time I had the opportunity, I definitely made it a point to run over and say hello. And didn't really have any long talks, but it was just, what an honor to meet a guy like that. You know, one of the biggest names in football history, really. But really, really nice guy. Really sad to hear about his passing the other day.
And Matt, you know, 7 years in that with that team and the organization, did you just have a sense, even if you didn't have a lot of interactions with him, just what he meant to that community, to the and what the 72 Dolphins meant to that community?
Oh man, I mean, and it's so evident. You know, he come driving out on his golf cart, and the, you know, the stadium just goes nuts. I mean, the appreciation for him was, I mean, it'll be never ending. It'll be, people will love and appreciate Coach Shula forever for what he did and who he was and how he went about things. Again, I didn't get to know those things on a personal level, but you can, you know, read about him or watch any football show about him, and he's a unique guy. And you know, to go undefeated, I mean, I don't know if it's so hard to do that. Obviously, it's never been done. I mean, it's just, it's absurd to think that. And, you know, I've spoke to the guys that have played for him, and they all just rave about the guy and how he was different and unique and all these things, and how they have, you know, nothing but love for the guy. And so it was obviously a huge football name, and again, really sad.
Matt, you mentioned throwing the ball around a little bit with your brother. Now, what is Nick doing? Do you know? I mean, there's only so many things guys can do. Jonathan's been on with us. We've talked to him about what they're trying to do. This is not an ideal time for him or Tristan Jebbia or Chance Logan or anybody else, but what is Nick trying to do that you observe or know to stay ready?
Yeah, I mean, as far as when it comes to the football program, I know they're doing their meetings on Zoom or whatever app they're using. And so I know they're doing that stuff, but he's doing his workouts and he's throwing and he's doing everything he can without breaking the law, which is weird to say, but
right.
You know, he's, I think all these kids, you know, it's a shame, you know, especially for the spring athletes, but even for these kids in the fall, you know, the football, spring ball, it's important for everybody, whether you're a, you know, fourth, fifth-year starter or you're working your way up. It's a shame that they lost all this time, and I get it. It's the world we're in. But so I think all these kids are really doing everything they can to stay ready, because hopefully when things do get back to normal, I mean, I think they all understand they have to be ready to go, you know, right now. And I think that's Nick's approach. And, I mean, I don't know. From what I see, he's doing a good job. But who knows? I mean, he's a 21-year-old college kid.
Did you observe
his life, man?
Yeah, that's good. But I hear the thing I like about Nick, and this isn't surprising to me based on a conversation we had with you when he first committed to Oregon State. I mean, he's a guy that just keeps putting in his work and his time, and his name keeps coming up, you know, as I talk in different circles. Well, Nick, is that what you were sort of expecting in terms of a trajectory for him, that he would just keep working, keep showing up? And that eventually he would be talked about as a guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's him, you know. And I remember that conversation we had, you know, whenever that was, a couple years ago. And I think he's that guy. He's you know, he's not going to be the guy where if somebody were to go look on the field and be like, whoa, look at that monster, you know. Like, he's not that guy. He's going to be the guy that just kind of chips away every day, which I think is what he does. I think that's one of his best assets, is he just keeps working and working and working, and wherever that takes him, however high that takes him, you know, that's to his credit. But I think that's his mentality, and you know, I think he's proven that, you know, at his time at Oregon State. He's like, again, he just works every day, and wherever that gets him, it gets him. But he's definitely still thrilled to be a Beaver, loves being there, and he's had a great time thus far. So We'll see how the next couple of years go.
Hey, Matt, we've been playing Beaver Classic games, some baseball, some football. The next one that's coming up is a win over USC in 2006. I don't know how much golf guy, quote unquote, you are, where you can tell us what you hit on the ninth hole 5 years ago. But I know you got a lot of football under your belt, but any memories of that big upset? It snapped a long Pac-12 winning streak for USC. It was a glorious day. Clinton Polk comes in as a reserve back and gets 99 yards. Any fond memories of that afternoon?
Man, I remember the first drive. I think we went right down maybe, I don't know, 11, 12 play drive maybe, and scored. I remember only because I've seen it afterwards, but I remember I think it was a third down where I was kind of getting sacked, and I flipped it out to Clinton Polk, and we ended up getting the first down. It was kind of a bizarre play, which really worked out. I remember there was a go ball to Sammy Strotter who laid out, complete layout, dove and caught it, which ended up being a big play. I don't know if we scored on that drive or not. It was in the second half, and I remember kicking a lot of field goals in the second half, which was a bummer, but we held on, so it's all good now. Obviously, the touchdown pass to Joe Newton going towards the Valley Center. I mean, and then, you know, the defense, what do we have, four turnovers?
Yes.
Five turnovers?
Yeah, took it away four times, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, Van Orso with the tip pass down at the end, and I also remember SC, you know, kind of turning into SC in the second half and come ripping back, and you're like, oh man, get hold on to this thing.
Right.
Gosh, what an awesome day that was.
It was a glory, like John said. I can remember it so well, October 28, 2006. And you guys were starting to come, it seemed like, Matt, right? I mean, that team got off to a bit of a slow start, but somewhere along the way, you and Sammy in particular, I remember it seemed like you hit him on a deep post in Seattle to help you win a game.
Yeah.
And you just got hot down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like anything. I mean, things take time, you know, and as much as that, you hate to say that. But, you know, we kind of hit our stride, you know, midway through that season. Well, what did we win, 8 of the last 9?
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah. And should have been 9 for 9. We lost at the Rose Bowl to UCLA, but... I mean, it's just, I mean, great group of guys. You talk about working. I mean, great group of guys that worked. You know, I think I can only speak to Coach Riley guys, but, I mean, those guys, it was awesome being on those teams. And to go, especially just in my time there from 05, which was disappointing, to 06, I think it's just a credit to the work that the guys put in and really kind of came together as a team. And like you said, kind of came alive there week 5, 6, 7, whatever that was of that year, and got some big wins and did some pretty cool things.
Last thing for me is there any truth to that in the Sun Bowl when the team scored, Bob DeCarolis had to nudge you and say, you guys are going for two on the sideline?
That is true. I'll be honest with you again. I had I went running celebrating when Joe scored. I went like running 100 yards the other direction. I don't know why. And I'm on a knee, out of breath, talking to Bob DeCarolis, and he's like, Matt, you're going for two. The offense was down there huddled up. I ran in. I'm like, what are we doing? Coach Riley gave me the play. I called it. We went, and that was it.
That is hilarious to me. That's going to be the game the following week in our classic rebroadcast.
That's
so,
awesome.
Yeah, that season, Matt, the 06 season, has more great wins, the SC win, the Civil War win, the win at Hawaii was an amazing game. I mean, and then to cap it with the Sun Bowl, that was as enjoyable of a stretch of time I can remember in Beaver football. I mean, that was tremendous.
It was cool, and I think it kind of set the table there for some big-time seasons following that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Beavers, you know, were hot for a while there, and I get it. Everything goes up and down, and it seems – to be going in the right direction now, but, you know, you take the gears, you know, 08, they beat SC, what, when they were number one, you know, and then they beat Cal the next year at Cal, and Cal was, you know, there were some big wins to follow, and I think, you know, those seasons maybe, you know, it gives you the expectation or maybe, you know, just puts you in place for good things to come.
On the 06, final thing, Matt, on the play that you ran, we're told by Evanson, and Evanson said he proudly after the game, I remember in the celebration, said, I called the play. Evanson said, I called the play.
Because
you ran a power. You'd put in a power play with Lavitre pulling, and it was a handoff from the three, which I remember at the time thinking, handing it off, I mean, not throwing to go for two to win it, but you had executed that well in practice, evidently, and Ev says, let's run it. You remember it that way at all?
I do, because I remember Coach Riley giving, I don't know, I just remember him saying, Ev called this. And I was like, so? And he's like, that's what we're going with. I mean, I didn't say that. I'm just kidding. I'm giving Ev a hard time because he's my buddy. But he was like, Evanson wants this. And I'm like, okay. And called it, and we went. And I remember reversing out and handed it to him, and there was a big pile. And then the arms went up, and it was awesome.
It was indeed. Matt, it's been great talking to you again. Thanks for a generous amount of your time. When we call upon you, you're always quick to get back to us. We appreciate it. So when we hear what we hope will be news, if that's what you want in your heart, as John said, we hope to talk to you again here down the road. And I know there'll always be a lot of Beaver in you, and we appreciate how much you've given back over the years to Beaver Nation. Thanks for taking time for us.
No doubt, guys. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Matt. Good luck.
Matt. Really a pleasure to have a good conversation with former Beaver quarterback Matt Moore. This edition of this week's podcast brought to you in part by Visit Corvallis. Check them out at visitcorvallis.com. And by La Crosse Boots, done right since 1897.
Thank you, Johnny, and we'll be back again next week for another edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hom Kombucha. It's feel good, taste good kombucha, packed with probiotics and boosted with B12 vitamins. Brewed in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.